You can support this show at patreon.com/ASApodcasting.
The Fallout TV show.
The Wasteland is a post-apocalyptic mess. As the sole survivor wanders out, about to see the rest. Nuclear explosion sending out the gamma rays from deep within the core. Frozen atomic waves. From deep within the core.
Hello and welcome to the 406th edition of the Fallout Feed. I am Andrew, joined by a flock of my favorite Fallout folks tonight. We have Jess. What's up, Jess?
Hey, Andrew. Greets, everybody.
And Ray. What's going on, Ray?
Hello, hello.
Tonight, guys, we're going to get into a little bit of gameplay we've been getting into this week. The Oscars were this past week, so I thought maybe we'd check in with some of our favorite movies the Fallout Feed has seen this year, and also a little bit of Iguana Bits, and we got a couple of community shouts on the way out the door. So everyone stick around for another great edition of the Fallout Feed. Hey, Ray, have you got a chance to play any video games this week?
I have indeed.
What'd you get into?
I've been really dialed into doing my dailies in No Man's Sky.
For a second there, I thought you were going to say 76, but I should have known better.
Yeah.
Should have known better.
You know, so Fallout 76 could definitely take a page. So one of the things about the dailies in No Man's Sky is that you can wait a few minutes and it'll change.
Wait, what?
So if you don't like the daily, you can just wait and it'll be something different.
Because you clicked a reroll button, right?
No, it's
because
automatic.
Because you spent 50 cents in the atom shop?
Nope.
Oh.
And to make it even better, if I don't get to my dailies on Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday, I can go in and do my dailies from all 3 days.
Yeah. No.
But you only get one a day, right?
Yeah.
And so that's one of the bigger differences. Like, we got six or seven of them to do, and I'd love to have that opportunity to be able to push them off a day or two if I don't have time to do them. That'd be awesome. But, you know, 18
and they could do more, but it's, you know, they don't really have a quite the breadth of way of spending the currency that you get, and so, you know, it's it's not really helpful to have, you know, too many of the Quicksilver because you just don't have that much to spend it on.
And how many different currencies are you up to in No Man's Sky? You just don't have 18 currencies like we do in Fallout 76 now, you know?
Yeah, no, we have three.
You got nanites, you got nanites, Quicksilver.
Money, and Quicksilver.
Oh, it's actually, there's one called money?
Well, yeah, dollars. Units.
Dollares. Units. Sweet.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, you know, that makes it a lot more fun to do your dailies.
Yeah, I can imagine. Only one to do. You wait and it'll change. I mean, if we waited 3 days and 76, we'd have to do 18. That's a lot of dailies.
Yeah, it is.
You gotta
wait. You could also decide not to do a bunch of them too, you know, if they were really dumb ones.
You got a weekly there in No Man's Sky?
Yeah, then you get a weekend that is worth three times what the dailies are. So, yeah, so that's been fun to do.
You just cash them in for Quicksilver, right? Or no, yeah. What'd you say?
Quicksilver? Yeah, Quicksilver. Okay. Yep. You know, goofing around regularly in Skyrim. You know, I really don't like playing werewolves and vampires.
No.
So I spend a lot of time trying to play werewolves and vampires. Just to see,
force, you know, yourself to like it.
Well, I'm kind of hoping it's like power armor in Fallout, because I never liked playing in power armor, but I've gotten, where I've done a few characters now with it, and it's really kind of cool. You know, if it just takes a little bit of planning, you know, so the fusion cores don't run out every 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's crazy how quickly those go, especially in 4. Holy shit.
Yeah, so in Fallout 4, so I still haven't, this character that I just did is, so there's a YouTuber called, I think he's Fevy. And he does OP builds, you know, so they're the silly builds, you know, like, we're, you know, one of the things that I did was build a few thousand shelves to get from, you know, level 3 to level 12.
As one does, right?
Yeah,
rubber exactly. mats, in my case, rubber mats, right?
And so all I had were 2 levels of nuclear physicist. And I was in Sanctuary. I loaded in a new fusion core. And then I walked across the top of the map to the Nakano residence. Go, I'm playing survival mode. So I walked to the Nakanos, went to Far Harbor, walked from Far Harbor to Acadia, and then down to the Nucleus. I did the quest to get into the Children of Adam, and then I did the quest to get Adam's judgment. So, you know, running all over the place. Then I walked back to Far Harbor, and then from the Nakanos back to Sanctuary, and still had 25% left on my fusion core.
Now that's efficiency right there.
And that's without the 10% from the repair bobblehead.
It's obnoxious that the repair bobblehead gives you fusion core, whatever.
Oh, yeah. It makes total sense, right?
Well, they took away the repair mechanic, so they got to make it do something. Sure. I have an idea. How about a different bobblehead that actually does something?
Yeah, it could be the nuclear physicist bobblehead.
There you go. The fusion core one, where it's just like a fusion core that's balanced upright. It doesn't even have to be a bobblehead.
So it was kind of fun build. So, yeah, at level, I guess what was I? Maybe level 14, I headed off to Far Harbor. Then after I got done, once I got Adam's judgment in Far Harbor, I got everything cleaned up and spiffed back up again, and then marched off to Nuka World and tore through there. Now, I did use, there's a little bit of an exploit that you can do once you get to the gauntlet. And that is when you walk down the stairs from the train, where you go in to, you know, start the gauntlet. There's a door off to your left, a red door. And there's a gap in the door. And you can see the chain on the other side. So if you line up your cursor just right, you can get to where you can unhook the chain and open that door, and you walk into Nuka World without going through the gauntlet.
Hey, hey, hey. That sounds nice.
Yeah. So I walked in. So my goal was to get Coulter's power armor, you know, the overboss power armor.
Mm-hmm. Any particular reason? Is it super special?
Yeah, it's really a high level, you know, good protection. Each piece is some crazy number. I don't even remember it off the top of my head now. But you go, when you get into the Nuka World area, instead of going into the market, you turn to the right and follow the wall around, and then there's some wooden stairs you can go up on top, and you get to the place where the flying ants are, when you come out of the gauntlet, and then you have to walk through that last section where the where you know there's chain link over top, and the raiders stand up there and shoot at you.
Yeah, that sucks.
So when I got to that spot, I popped some Psycho Jet, and you know you can just run through that section before anything can react to you, and then you're in where Coulter is. So squirt him a few times with a squirt gun and whack him with Adam's Judgment, and he's down for the count.
It's mind-boggling. They made a squirt gun the powerful weapon there to tackle the big boss man at the end.
It's kind of one-dimensional, but yeah, what it does really well.
A short circuit something because it got wet, right?
Yep.
Bzz. Now, when you take his power armor, right, Ray?
Uh-huh.
And you're walking around the wasteland. If you step in a puddle, are you going to fucking shock and die? No.
No. You're no longer connected to...
Oh, he's got the bumper car. Ceiling. He's got the bumper car thing. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so you don't have that anymore. So you do have energy damage protection, but you don't. You're not invincible like Coulter was.
Invincible. So he can take no ballistic, no melee damage or anything. It's the squirt gun only, and that makes him... Does that make him hop out, or does it just electrocute him and kill him?
It shorts out his suit for a couple of seconds. So you have a brief window to go in and whack him.
Nice.
So at that point of the fight, I was on Psycho Buff. So I think my strength was... let's see. Yeah. 17.
Is there not some sort of prerequisite of going to Nuka World? Like you said,
you have to get through the gunners and their assaultron.
Is the level 20 or 30 suggested? That's just a suggestion.
Then. That's just when the game lets you know that it's there. But if you already know it exists, you can go anytime.
You can go anytime.
Yep.
And you had no trouble with the assaultron at the front door, the gates there?
Adam's Judgment. And one whack.
You have to remind me what Adam's Judgment is again. Is that like Adam a super
judgment
sledge?
Is the super sledge with right. the fusion cores tacked to the front of it.
Okay.
So along with the melee damage, it also does radiation damage.
Do you irradiate yourself with that? You must not.
No. Mm-hmm.
All right, that's a lot.
Yeah, the only downside to Adam's Judgment is it's huge and bright. You know, so when you're walking around with it, you can't see anything else around you.
Does that affect your sneak level?
No.
How about?
And it also makes a lot of noise when you swing it, but really cool noise.
And that also does not affect. Will someone hear that and be like, "Oh, sneak! You know, sneak busted." No. Because I was wondering that today.
It's almost impossible to blow your sneak in Fallout 4.
I see. I was just wondering that earlier today because I was, you know, motoring around the wasteland and I was playing with the volume down because I was watching, you know, basketball all day. And I turned up my TV for just a second and I was like, oh, I've got, you know, Diamond City Radio blasting out my Pip-Boy. And I was like, I don't think that tipped anyone off, though. Those gunners didn't seem to hear. Does the radio have an effect on your sneak level, your Pip-Boy?
No, the Pip-Boy light does, but I don't think the radio does.
Because I was blasting, and the gunners didn't seem to be aware of my presence or anything. So
yeah, because it's in your head. It's in your earbuds.
It's not. So my companion. Running beside me there, fuck DJ, what's his name? Confidence Man himself. Even though he's doing Travis, he is doing the broadcast standing next to me. So you know it's a pre-recorded show. It's bullshit if they try to pretend that it's live. But he is not hearing my Pip Boy. You're saying that that's going. But
no,
I'm
I was
no,
just
no.
making
in,
that up.
In power and power armor, that might make sense.
Yeah, but not in power armor. It's not like he comments and says, "Oh yeah, I told a good joke on that one, didn't I?"
Oh, that was a good episode of my live radio show that we're rebroadcasting.
Yeah.
So you're already in Nuka World. That's fun. What else are you getting into?
And so that's where I stopped at this afternoon.
Yeah. Well, you're going to drag me over there soon, too, I bet, because you were talking about Automatron last week, and guess where Andrew was all week? In the fucking Mechanist layer down there.
Yeah. Far Harbor is a bit of a challenge in power armor because it's already really hard to see in Far Harbor.
Foggy everywhere and dark.
But when you throw that power armor filter, you know, over your vision, it's really fuzzy.
Can you vaguely remember you could turn off the HUD and stuff in your settings? Is that right? Can you like eliminate the power armor visual?
Yeah, probably but I didn't.
I think I used to do that.
But yeah, Far Harbor was fun. Especially once you get Adam's Judgment.
And
with power armor and my character has a strength of 9. So with the power armor, I'm strength 14. So the thing's doing huge damage. I one-shotted a Yaogwai.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. I sometimes I wish I wasn't doing the unarmed stuff. I have all my builds set up for unarmed, and it's just so limiting when I hop into power armor to like take it back to one of the settlements or something. I'm like, okay, hurry up and go. I hope I don't have to fight anything because I'm just punching with bare fists at this point. Did you get into anything else exciting there, Ray?
No, that was about it. It was fun to do the gauntlet that way.
What, by skipping it? And
by skipping it completely. Skipping it
altogether? I'll have to have you post a picture of that chain or whatever you said it was.
Yeah, it's... You know, it's kind of interesting because you walk by the door and, you know, it says chained. And so you just, you know, keep on going. But because there's a gap in the door, you know, between the frame and the door, you can see one of the links of the chain. And if you get yourself positioned just right, you can open it up.
I wouldn't be able to do that with a controller. You mouse people.
You could just spam the button and just wave it back and forth, and eventually you'd hit it.
Just wave
and
it back.
Every other
and
time,
forth.
It would just say chained. But cool. So I'll also have to try taking a character and doing that, and then not doing cola cars and see what happens.
What do you mean? Say that.
To see what you can do without going through the gauntlet and without meeting Gage and without killing Coulter. Because you can still interact with the people in the market. You can still do stuff in there. So, I mean, I wouldn't be able to get into Fizztop Mountain, I wouldn't think. You know, to that player home.
Upstairs, that sort of tower thing.
Yeah. But other than that, I suspect you could probably do anything else you wanted to.
Like, look for Star Cores?
Yes. Favorite.
Oh, oh God. Baron Zaya Cores, right?
Yep.
They love plugging that shit in. Very fun. Now, well, I'll probably have to go to Nuka World now. Screw you, Ray. God damn it. Did you get anything else this week, Ray?
No, that pretty much took care of everything.
Sweet. Jess, did you get a chance to play any video games this week?
I sure did. Actually, not as much as some weeks, but I did get some good Fallout 76 in. I did not play on my home base at all. I was kind of doing what I'd been doing, playing on PC and PlayStation. Getting more levels on those characters, getting on the scoreboard, we're basically even now. I'm a little further ahead on the Xbox scoreboard, but I'm in the, you know, mid-teens on both PC and PlayStation, and getting all that done. Honestly, not a whole lot, really. We did have the parade last weekend. So on Saturday night, we did an event called the Biggest Cucumber. I might have talked about it a little bit ahead. Basically, the idea is it's like a Nukashine run, but you have to leave the area and get as cucumbered as possible on your way back to base and do that multiple times. So like the first time, you had to go somewhere, come back completely overloaded with junk. Next time, completely overloaded with apparel. And then the last time, overloaded with weapons. It was a fun little variation on the game. Once again, kind of making our own fun in Fallout. But
How are you getting overloaded with apparel? Doesn't it only weigh 0.1?
Yeah, well, we were including armor in that, so anything you wear.
Oh, okay.
But also, we did it in a custom world where you can set the weight threshold lower. So we had like a max weight of 150.
Okay.
So that made it much easier to get over cucumbered. And essentially, it was really how much can you grab on the way back? You know, kind of like a supermarket sweepstakes kind of deal where you're running through, you throw as much in the cart as you can. So we'd take your weight when you started out and then your weight when you got back and deal the difference.
Very cool.
And then so you get a bonus for the amount of time, or because that's the other factor, right? Whoever gets back first with the most stuff.
Yes. Yep. That's what we did. It was the amount of stuff you brought back, and then who made it back first in the race as well. So that was kind of the balance there. Did you rush and not pick up as much, or did you take your time and pick up too much? It's funny because I wasn't going to participate, and I was just, you know, there kind of helping to run it. But one of the people couldn't make it, so I ended up running and doing it as well. And it was a learning experience. You know, we're going to do it again probably. This first time we had a few things set up that we probably shouldn't have. For instance, we left the free crafting on, where you can make an infinite number of items. So smart money. At the end, as soon as I realized that, I'm like, oh my gosh, I found a cook station near the camp and just started making all the food. Like, oh yeah, 200 pounds, 300 pounds, 500 pounds, 600 pounds. Unfortunately, that also is why I lost and didn't win the whole thing, because I forgot that when you hit a certain threshold of over-cucumbered, it makes it so you go really slow. Like, you know how you can basically, your stamina goes quicker and you can't run, mm-hmm. but you can walk normal until you run out and then your bar refills. Well, I don't know if you were aware, but if you go like more than halfway to like 1500, so you get in the 700, 800 range, you suddenly can only walk at a crawl.
It doesn't let you do the slow walk.
The PC crowd learned that playing with Lee.
Oh, really? What does Lee do? How did you learn that?
Lee. Because he... You know, he was always 500 or 600 pounds overweight.
That's just unhealthy.
Yeah, it happens. That's kind of what inspired this, was the fact that some of our friends are not great at inventory management. Nobody here, of course, and happened to be over-cucumbered a lot. So we wanted to do that. Whereas, you know, I try to always be low on weight. But yeah, it was a fun little challenge. And then we had our St. Biv's Day parade we talked about on Sunday. And that was a success again. We did it on the different systems, and we had 9 floats. A really fun time. It went about 3 hours. You know, bands, camps, the usual. It was great. Monday, Tuesday, I didn't actually play much this week. And then Wednesday and Thursday, I did some streams. Our camp stream, the Everything Camp showcase on Thursday, was one of the coolest we've done in a while. I really enjoy when we do theme nights. You know, it's kind of a way to set up the stream and the kind of camps you want to show, because there's so much creativity out there. A lot of times we just, you know, who's available, who has something new they want to show, and that's kind of how I set it up. But we did a theme night, and so I was over on PC, and we called it Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Those aren't pillows.
And so we saw all vehicles made in the camp system, from an RV to a fighter jet to a blimp. What else did we have? We had a Mack truck. We had a vertibird. We had just a bunch of flying copters. some really cool stuff. So that was a really exciting stream. And seeing all that stuff made in adventure mode, because these are all builders that do it in adventure and make things float. Like, just, it was also probably, out of all the streams I've done, the one that what we were looking at took the most work and planning to get there. I mean, camp building, especially detailed camp building, is always hard. You know, we see some great camps that you know, took weeks to make in some cases. I mean, you know, at least a day or two, sometimes weeks. But these, I can't imagine the time put into some of these constructions. So that was really fun. Silior mentioned in chat that he's been in there, and he was in there and thought it was cool. But yeah, that's really my fallout this week. I guess it wasn't as much as I thought, just some on every system and a couple of big events. But what I have been doing is a little bit too much time watching a person of interest. So, you know, I had mentioned I started that back in January, and you know, that it's my homework because same company, Kilter Films, is working on the Fallout TV show, which has wrapped and coming any day now. And so, yeah, I got through season 3 and halfway through season 4 in the last week. So, because I'd been, you know, I'd been watching a few episodes a night, and I'm like, no. And these are all 23 episode seasons. Okay, we're not talking this new modern 10 episode stuff you can mainline. No, I've got 100 hours of this show, or no, 120 hours of this show that I'm trying to get through. So,
yeah, it's such a good series.
Yeah, I love it, right?
Yeah.
And just revisiting again, seeing all the different characters, the way they did it. Well, it occurred to me while watching that the way that the machine in Person of Interest, and for those who aren't familiar, I talked about it a little bit before, but the idea is that there is a surveillance system that watches and tabulates data and, you know, to kind of protect from terrorist attack and anything like that. But that there is, in so doing, there are not only the relevant numbers for major attacks, but also the irrelevant numbers, which are essentially real regular people who are in danger and crimes can be committed, but they don't deal with national security. So the machine was ignoring them. Well, the creator of the machine realized that this wasn't right, and so dedicated himself and a small team to protecting the irrelevant numbers. But a whole lot more from there, as you can imagine. A lot of it deals with AI, it deals with privacy, and you know, all the things that you would think would come from it. And coming up in season 3 and then 4, there is a rival AI and they're battling it out. And it put me in mind of the way that artificial intelligence like Zax works in, and Modus and such, works in the Fallout series right now. You know, you have the, say the AI at Raven Rock, okay, John Henry Eden, who we know with the Enclave as the president, but he was a Zax machine. And we know that he used to talk to Modus, and you can see some of their conversations on file and in terminals there. And then you had deal with Modus and the personality he developed, and you see how these AIs develop personality over time and come in conflict. And what does that mean for the people? And, you know, are they meant to lead? Are they above people? Are they actually in control? You know, there's so many, there are moral questions there. There are power questions there. There are, you know, can you trust an AI? How are they programmed? Is an AI only as good as how it's programmed? Or do they transcend their programming if they're able? And obviously in most cases, you know, at least in science fiction, they can. We'll see what happens in real life. But yeah, I thought there was some really neat parallels there. And so that got me thinking. I know I'm on a real tangent here. But in the Fallout TV show, are there going to be AIs? Are we going to see a Zax unit or a major AI in addition to maybe just some Protectrons or iBots or whatever?
So they also did Westworld too, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Dealing with synths there.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. So the thing that always fascinated me about the series Person of Interest, so it started in 2011.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's this, you know, wild, crazy thing about, you know, government surveillance.
And then in
2014, Edward Snowden releases all those, all that information about the government doing exactly that.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And it's also cutting edge on a lot of things. Cell phones were still new. I mean, the iPhone came out in, what was it, 2009? Maybe 2008, 2009.
Yeah.
You know, we had MP3 players and stuff, but, and flip phones, but that was a revelation. So 2011, when it started, we were only 2 or maybe 3 years into that kind of, you know, computer cell phone. So it deals with so much of the technology, and you're seeing, even just in the first 3 years of the show, because I'm in the 2014 era of the show right now in season four, mm-hmm. how much our understanding of that have changed. They even made a reference to Snowden in one of the most recent episodes I saw in season four. So, you know, they are aware of that for sure.
Well, yeah, they had to have just been blown away when that happened. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was something they would have to put in the show.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously it's not an AI connecting to every feed, kind of tabulating and cross-referencing data, more humans working it than not. But yeah, the scope of the data collection that was revealed, pretty intense. So that's what I was doing instead of playing Fallout a bit. But I am excited about the idea of what this group will do with the show. And season one's done filming. They're probably adding a lot of effects and stuff right now. And I'm hoping that there's some kind of a rogue AI story in there. Like, let's get at least one, you know, like a vault experiment or a government facility with a rogue AI. That would be pretty killer.
They put a release date yet on the show?
No release date. Nope. But with the next Rings of Power being pushed through to, I believe, next year, it makes me wonder if fall is more open for Amazon than you know, we were thinking. Be a great year for it.
Yeah, I think they said it was going to be released a year before Starfield, right?
so last fall. Yeah. I almost, you know what's funny? Andrew was in my brain. I almost said, so quarter one 2023, because he keeps saying quarter one 2024.
Just you watch.
No, they're not going to push it. They're not going to push it bad. They're not going to push it real good. Push it real good. It's not going to happen. But yeah, so we don't have a release date. And, you know, it might be a long time. But if it was done filming last month, there's no reason why it couldn't be this fall. Who knows? Yep. That's it for my gameplay and other extracurriculars. Been working a lot too, to be honest.
I don't know anything about television production schedules. What's the usual time frame when they wrap filming? And, you know, I assume they have to do sound mixing. They have to add in all the post-production, like visual effects and, you know, all that junk. I know zero about television production.
Ray probably knows more. I mean, the turnaround time has changed. I mean, now that they're doing internet series, now that there's more post-production, you know, it depends. Are you doing sci-fi with a lot of effects, or was it all practical when it's filmed? You're seeing a lot of times 6 to 8 months these days is for a lot of shows. But remember, in the past, a lot of seasons were filming. They'd be airing the first half of the season while filming the second. So you're only looking at, you know, maybe 2 or 3 month lead time on an episode in, you know, in the old days.
Yeah. Yeah. It depends on how much post-production is. And, you know, hopefully, you know, one of the annoying things that, you know, Amazon's pretty good at this is releasing one episode a week.
Yes.
Boo.
And so, yeah, that'll be wildly frustrating.
I know you all want to binge. I know we all will want to binge, but hey, it'll give us something to talk about for several weeks in a row. You know what I mean? We're sure. Going to be the
great
the
content, you know, feed, but, you know, yeah. Damn it.
The Fallout TV feed. I mean, we don't need a round table at that point.
I'd be more than happy to only discuss one episode per episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be nice. Can you imagine trying to cram in the entire series arc? Yeah. That would be intense.
But I want to be able to watch the whole damn thing.
I feel like the Amazon model, or releasing it old school week by week, may spark interest more than the Netflix model of dumping it all at once. It does seem to hit the zeitgeist quicker. People talk about it for 3 weeks when it is all dumped on Netflix, and then they don't. Whereas with Amazon, at least it stretches out over, you know, 2-3 months. What do you think, Andrew?
I hate the weekly release bullshit now. I'm still waiting. I don't even know if it's done yet or not, because I've stopped paying attention because I have to wait so long that the zombie spore show on HBO from the video game, what's it called? Last of Us? Has the final episode of that for this season? Because I'm still just waiting. I can't. I cannot sit and watch an episode of a show and then go a week and then watch an episode. Well, wait, what happened? Let me go back and watch the last. That's what I did with like Game of Thrones and stuff. It was like I would go back an hour before this week's episode would air. I'd go back and watch last week's episode again just so, because I forgot what happened in the last week. So I don't. Ugh. It makes me watch it more times than I need to, and makes me feel like I'm doing homework.
Yeah. Plus, also you forget about it.
Yeah, I just want to watch the whole damn thing. Come on.
Yeah, I mean there is value in watching it more than once, though. But then again, you can watch the whole darn thing and then watch the whole darn thing again.
True that.
And
which I will do for favorite shows. You know, some people don't watch shows more than once. Some people think it's odd. Some people, like Andrew, watch their favorite ones over and over again.
Yeah.
I only do it for a few favorite series every couple years, kind of like the way I play games, you know, is that it's been 2-3 years. I want to play it again if I really liked it.
I'm wrapping up.
One of the benefits of being old guy is that, you know, I can go a couple of months and then I will have forgotten everything. And
it's all new.
It's like watching it new again.
Yeah, I'm on my annual trip through The Sopranos right now. I'm just about to wrap that up. And then I decided Lost isn't an annual watch for me, but I'm like, oh, I haven't watched that in a few years. I'm going to go back and watch Lost because I forgot, you know, all that stuff. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to really hate myself about halfway through that. I can already tell. Oh, geez. But I wanted to watch Heroes. You guys remember that show? I wanted to watch Heroes. But I don't have any of the NBC streaming stuff. I hate... For a while there, you could count on almost everything going on Netflix. Netflix, early on, when it was just the DVDs, I remember cussing it because they're like, their content is garbage. But a couple years into it, they started getting fucking everything. But now there are so many apps that have splintered off and doing their own thing. Now the NBC has their own one. ABC has their own one. CBS has their own streaming service. Da, da, da. Like each network now has their own streaming service. So Netflix is back to not being able to depend on other production companies for their content. That's how they got into so much trouble with overdoing their own thing. You know, they're now, you know, making all their own shows. Too many of them, by the way, and dumping everything at once, and all the other, I say premiere, but you know, the good networks have all like yanked their stuff off of Netflix again. So Netflix is back to square one, where they didn't have the good content again. So I don't know. It's all baffling to me. And why does it take 9 months to make a TV show, right? Actors act for 9 months. And sometimes it takes that long to make a movie. And the movie is 2-3 hours long. But 9 months of TV production gets you a 21-hour long fucking movie. I've never understood the production. Like, I don't know what goes into the making a movie versus making a TV show. But I just thought that juxtaposition of the amount of content you can get from 9 months of production from a TV show, you can get 21 hours of awesome TV viewing. And then 9 months of movie production, you get 2.5 hours of content. I'm like, what the fuck are they doing on that movie set that takes up so much goddamn time when a lot of these TV shows are better than a lot of the movies? What the fuck?
Yeah, a lot of it is just the way it's been done. So on a TV set, they may, you know, do 2 or 3 takes on something max, and then, you know, move to the next thing. It's made to, you know, be produced very quickly. With movies, you know, the director's an artiste.
Oh, Lord.
And, you know, they want, you know, 30 takes of the same thing, and so it takes them for freaking ever. And then they've got all that content. Somebody has to put it all together, you know, grab the best scene from each one that the director likes, you know, and then you know, put a movie together out of it. So yeah, it's just the way, you know, it's just the way it's been done.
And that is why television has now passed movies as the respected art form. You know what I mean? Like, it used to be back in the 80s, like, oh, you're a TV actor. Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's blah, blah, blah. But now the TV actors are the popular actors, you know. I mean, they're still movie stars. Don't get me wrong. But it's not, you don't get looked down your nose upon by people for being a TV actor anymore. You know what I mean? You can have an artful, awesome TV show. Whereas it used to be shameful to be a TV actor back in the day. I don't know. Anyway, this has been Movie Corner TV Talk. And let's get that show out, shall we?
Yes, please. I can't wait. By the way, the reason I was quiet for a minute was I was just adding some final touches to our next AI magnum opus, which is possibly going to rival the Fallout TV show in quality. So when we get to the game section later, we'll take a look at that.
Oh, boy.
We were talking about what to do on this show ahead and some of the news, because it's a little bit of a light news week. And Andrew's like, well, have you been playing with that AI? I'm like, oh, I have an idea. So we'll see how it goes.
Sweet. Jess, last question for your gameplay. Are you going to nail the scoreboard in all three platforms?
Hell nah.
Will you,
as the kids say,
will you concentrate on one about halfway through the season when you realize, oh, I need to start cracking down? Or will you just buy it on one, buy it or something?
You know, I'm going to get it done naturally on Xbox. I will admit I was a bit lackadaisical week two. So, I mean, we're currently, are we in week three now of the season? We are, right?
Must be, yeah.
Yep. So week one, I was going right for it. Week two, I spread out and did more on the other systems, but didn't do much on Xbox, to be honest. This week is kind of the same. So yeah, over this weekend, I'm going to have to knuckle down and make a little more progress on Xbox, because I'm maybe 20. And obviously by this time, I should be in the 30s. You know, a lot of people who have been playing regularly for 3 weeks, got all the weeklies done this week, they're in 40 to 50 now. That seems to be about the average spot, which is interesting. That's a little bit faster than some seasons. I'm actually hearing people that are saying, I seem to be doing a little quicker than usual. Is that your experience, Andrew?
I feel like it is, but I don't know why, because I'm not doing the West Tech runs anymore. Like, when I would finish my dailies, I would then go run through West Tech 3 or 4 times just to level up. And, you know, get some more XP. And now that leveling up every day is not a requirement, I'm not, you know, going to West Tech over and over again. And, you know, all of my West Tech time has been taken over by Fallout 4 survival mode. Like, when I turn off 76 now, I'm popping on Fallout 4 instead of going down to West Tech.
So that's actually good. That it's making it a bit less of a chore for you, maybe?
And I'm finding I can finish my dailies in like 25 minutes instead of an hour.
Okay. See, this is all positive. I'm also hearing from other people that the level up challenge being gone, you guys know I never focused on the level up. If it happened, it happened. If it didn't, it didn't. But a lot of people, it was very important to them to get that level up. You know, y'all had your level up characters for a while. A lot of our friends did. Others, what they would do most often was they'd be playing along. They'd get the character almost leveled up. They'd be like, oh, I'm going to level up in another mission or two. They
stop playing. Yeah.
And it kept people from actually just getting in the game, enjoying, having fun, you know, because they wanted to save. And, oh, I don't want to level up twice today because I need to save that for tomorrow's level up challenge. So it's created a more natural play style for people who, days when they want to play more, they do. Days when they don't have to. And I like that.
I still haven't re-rolled a daily yet. I haven't played with the rolling.
Do it just to experience the joy of re-rolling. Mm.
Lead champagne was a thing the other day, and I was like, man, I need to re-roll this because I don't know the recipe for that. And then the curator dropped one at my feet. I was like, oh, sweet.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I've been able to keep up on Xbox, so I'm at the same level as I am on PC on Xbox.
That's good, Ray. Good job.
Yeah, within one rank of the other, right?
Zero of value.
No, they're both at the same spot.
Oh, somehow I thought you accidentally got rank one or two, but no. With the new reroll system, you can avoid it.
Well, I don't, yeah.
You're like, I didn't even log in.
I can avoid it even easier by not logging in.
Attaboy. That's what we like to hear.
That totally works. But yeah, so really, obviously, that was all my gameplay. We've moved on from there a little bit at this point.
Sweet.
I know you guys are doing the Fallout 4 survival. You're going to talk about that a bit more.
Yeah.
Andrew and Ray, actually, did you say you switched that game to survival yet, like your current playthrough, or no?
Yeah, the OP I did was on survival.
Yep. Okay.
So it was unmodded. So I still have my modded character, the one that I took to visit the mechanist.
We're going to talk in a little bit about our next roundtable and whether we're doing Fallout 4 survival, whether we're doing 76, whether we're doing Fallout 2. We've had votes for all of those in the Discord, let alone other places. So I don't know. Maybe we'll make someone else decide.
Jess thinks that one person mentioning something in a chat thread counts as a vote towards what we will be doing for content in our show, Ray.
This is a democracy, isn't it, Andrew?
One person making a comment on Discord sends waves through the show.
Well, as long as they say exactly what I want them to say, it's solid. Yeah,
then it's fine, right?
Exactly. I mean, that's what the internet is for, right? You get in a discussion, you go to the internet to find someone who agrees with you.
Speaking of Fallout 2, you mentioned, I still don't have that, but I heard, is it spring sale or something? Did someone mention that in the...
Oh, the Steam spring sale?
Steam, that's a PC thing. I don't have Steam, fuck it.
Right. Yeah, you're good. I don't think there's anything special on Xbox at the moment.
Yeah, because last time I looked, it was like $10 or $15 in good old games. I'm like, fuck that. Why didn't I buy it when it was $2 at Christmas time or whatever that was?
You didn't buy Fallout 2, did you?
No, I didn't. Why did I not do that? That was dumb.
You didn't even know if it was going to run. I would not call it dumb when you were trying to get it. Remember how much trouble you went through to even get it working?
But it was like $2. Come on.
I know. You want your $2?
I want my $2. Oh, goodness. Well,
I will look for it on sale, and I will see if I can get you a copy. I might even have an extra code somewhere. I probably have it on multiple things.
Well, boom. You get all the perks. Look at you.
I mean, it's not, you know, it's not necessarily that perk when you buy Fallout as many times as we have in various forms.
Yeah. Oh, I've bought Skyrim about 12 times, so they owe me, right? Even though it's a different, yes. It's a different company, so no, they don't owe me anything.
That's how it works. No, it's the same company. Well, I know, actually, you're right, it's different, but no. They own it now, so.
They own it now, right. All right, we'll get into my gameplay a little bit here. I've been doing lots of Fallout 4 survival, like we mentioned. I went on a little bobblehead tear today. It was, St. Patrick's Day today, so I took off and went to Spectacle Island, got the luck bobblehead first thing today. I still hadn't discovered Spectacle Island, so that was a fun little trip over there. But in order to get there, I was like, damn, that's a long swim. This is survival mode. I'm going to take a lot of goddamn radiation. I'll probably drown. At least Bethesda totally fucking ignores water. When it comes to bad guys, you'll never see a bad guy in the water in Skyrim or fall, unless you count Slaughterfish, which, you know, no big deal there. But I want a big, like, water dragon and some sort of irradiated fucking shark, you know, to fight and fall out. But...
Yes, please.
I decided, you know, because I'm stacking up a couple of perk levels that have gone unused. So I was like, well, I've got, like, four here that I haven't used. Let me look. Yeah, let's do Aqua Girl. Let's do that. So I took both levels of it because the first level makes it so you don't take radiation from the water, but the second level makes it so you are undetectable. Like, no one can see you if you go underneath the surface of the water, which, you know, I was like, okay, whatever. Who cares about that, really? But so I swam out to, you know, Spectacle Island, got that all opened up, flipped on the little switch box thing, and the Mire Lurk Queen popped out and activated all the Mire Lurks across the island and such. And slowly but surely, by running around the ship and hiding on the opposite side of the ship, and then she would come to the opposite side, so I'd run back around to the front side of the ship, and then she would run. Oh, God, it was a big game of chicken. But finally, we got the Mire Lurk Queen down. went up and opened up the rest of the island, got the luck bobblehead, and then I was like, let's sort of swing up to the castle there. So I was like going to swim underwater, swim. And I popped out. I was like, oh, here I am at the castle. Oh, this is not the castle. So I ended up at that army base that was near Nordhagen Beach. Is it Fort Strong? Fort Strong. And I'm like,
oh, with you were all on entirely the wrong area.
How the fuck did I end
up
over here? What the fuck is going on? So I was like, man, I should really open up my map when I'm traveling more. So I started popping my map open, but then I realized it doesn't let you see. It's like covered with water. You know what I mean? Like you can't really see your map when you're underwater.
Well, additionally, do you even have the Brotherhood there yet? Like has the Pridwin pulled up?
No, I haven't seen. The only Brotherhood people I've seen are the dead ones at that one spot where it kicks off the sort of like listen to the holotape and then go. Like I haven't even gone to.
So you've seen Lexington? Your favorite Brotherhood.
Is it Lexington? Mm-hmm. Not Concord. Is it Lexington that they're at?
They're in Cambridge.
Cambridge. But yeah, so I haven't even been over there yet. I'm sort of avoiding that area.
I was just going to say the Pridwin is a great way to navigate. When that's not there yet, it's easier to get lost in the water. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, you can come up for air and see your map.
I can do that. But yes, you can look.
When you come up
because
for air,
it's not like somebody's going to shoot at you.
You expose yourself. Those raiders at the Libertalia, what's that ship?
Well, you'd have to be pretty far north to get to Libertalia. Then you'd be way off. Like next thing you know, you're at Long Nick Bukowski's cannery or something.
You have no idea what a bad navigator I can be.
Well, I have a little bit of an idea. We do play together these days.
But anyway, so I've been using the Aqua Girl a lot.
That's a fabulous. That's like a amazing. Must have perk for survival mode.
It's really great because
I've
now used the Charles River for my main modus operandi to get in and out of the town. I can since Hangman's Alley is my main camp, my hub. Mm-hmm. I, you know, just run and jump over the railing and I'm literally in the river. You go underwater, you can swim, you know, left or right and get to basically any of the other spots that you need to. Although, and I've just been using the rivers now as my roadways instead of the roadways. And it's been really amazing. And it so much faster too. Like, I can't believe, like, cause I don't stop and look at stuff. I don't stop and fight. I don't stop. It just bam, bam, bam. You can hop from place to place.
But you can make it even faster if you go to where Kessler is.
Oh,
Covenant.
No.
The
big
Kessler, Bunker Hill.
Bunker Hill. There you go. So go there, talk to the bartender. Mm-hmm. Get the grandpa perk, or not the grandpa perk, the grandpa mission to find, you know, Grandpa Sivaldi, and he's in the old Gullet sinkhole.
Oh.
So you go down there, and in the old Gullet sinkhole is a magazine that makes you swim faster.
I forgot about that.
I need to keep that in mind. Damn.
And so that really, you know, that makes water travel even better.
That's great.
So, I mean, you really do kick butt too when you've got that.
It's Wasteland Survival Guide issue 7, it looks like. Sweet.
Yeah.
So, and that's, you know, you can get in there without having to mess around with the Deathclaw that's in the sinkhole. You know, you just jump down into the swirling water and you're there. So definitely a good one. A few radroaches, some ghouls that you have to fight, including a glowing one, to be able to get out. But they're not too much trouble with a little bit of explosives.
Sweet. I'll definitely have to keep that in mind. Head that direction next will probably be my next objective. If I ever get out of this fucking mechanist lair, oh my god. It is the worst slog ever. And Ray, I don't know if you were in survival when you're doing. I don't think your character that you did last.
No, was that in one survival. Was in survival.
And just not being able to save just sucks fucking balls. And just I'm going and I'm killing two robots, and then I'm running all the way back up top, going out saving. Then I'm running all the way back down, and I'm killing two more robots. Then I'm running all the way back outside, because I don't want it to be like I spend 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes in here fighting all these robots, and then, oh shit, I died, and now I have to go back and redo fucking everything. So my attack method is just to just move it one section at a time, and each time I clear a section, I'm running all the way back outside, throwing down my sleep tent, and saving. And I've been scouring the whole damn place. I cannot find a fucking mattress anywhere. And is there a mattress somewhere in the Mechanist Lair? Besides after you beat the fucking robots, yeah, sure. But before that?
No, not before that.
God damn. This is like the longest slog I've ever... Oh, man. I'm just like... This better be goddamn
especially worth it. That last battle that you have with her where you get the wave after wave after wave of robots... you know, that one, that's going to be brutal.
I just am in the middle of the first wave when I quit to come, you know, turn on the show. Mm. I don't know how it happened, but if you remember a couple weeks ago, I was saying Travis is with me. I really like having Travis because he's like, he draws attention away from you. He's loud, so people pay attention to him. But I could never get him to pick up a better weapon. Like I used to, I remember in game plays past where I have to get out of my power armor to work on my weapon or something. And then I turn around to get back in my power armor and fucking Travis is standing in my power armor. I'm like, but I could not get him to pick up a better weapon or get into power armor or do anything. Like he was still using his stupid little pipe pistol and he wouldn't get into power armor. I don't know what happened, but this week he's carrying this awesome laser rifle and he's in power armor. And I'm like, what? Where did you get that shit? We weren't even near any of those things. He leveled up when you were away. How did you do that? But
he was
thank
grinding,
God he
Andrew. He went to West Tech.
But he is kind of a hoss now. And I'm very happy that Travis is with me. He's in his power armor. He's got his really powerful laser rifle. He's tanking down robots left and right. So I'm basically like tossing out grenades and mines and ducking behind corners and hiding, waiting for stuff to walk by. If it's within 10 or 15 paces, I can knock it out with, you know, Blitz level 2. But it's really just a lot of me hiding tucked around corners and telling Ada, I'm like, hey, Ada, walk over there. It just so happens to be in the line of fire of a machine gun turret, but, you know, you'll be okay. I've got enough robot repair kits on me. So I'm, like, sending, Ada out to get shot, and then that draws Travis out to fight whatever kills Ada, and then I clean up the mess when the other robots flock to kill Travis so they don't see me. I'm doing the times 4 unarmed damage, which I need to switch to melee because it pisses me off that Ninja is melee only, not unarmed in melee. That really upsets me. Mm-hmm. That I invested 3 points into Ninja before I realized. I was like, God damn it. But I've got a few extra points by now anyway, so not a huge deal. I'm stuck in the last room of the Mechanist. So that's what I'm working on now. But I did a bunch of bobbleheads earlier today. I was in Dunwich Boars last week, but I had forgotten to grab the sneak bobblehead, which is one of my one of my favorite attributes that I'm using this playthrough. You're doing the sneak and the blitz together is a really powerful combo. But I was just reading about the luck bobblehead today. I was like, oh, I wonder what other bobbleheads I should pick up. And I was reading about the sneak, and I was like, oh, wait, that's in Dunwich at Station 4. What? I was just there. Like, I went back, and I checked my bobblehead stand. No, there's no sneak bobblehead there. I fucking forgot the sneak bobblehead. So I went all the way back up to Dunwich Boars. But you know what is nice? there is a river that goes all the way up and kind of weaves underneath, and there's a little creek that goes. So I swam all the fucking way there from Hangman's Alley. It was awesome.
Yep.
Awesome.
Now, did you get Crim's Tooth too?
I had gotten that one before.
Right.
You got that and didn't get the bobblehead?
And I didn't get the bobblehead. The bobblehead is kind of tucked behind on a little counter that if you're not paying attention.
Yeah, it's on a little tray. Yeah.
If you're not paying attention, you just walk by it. It's not like there's a floodlight flashing on it or a big bright sign or anything. And it's been a few years, right, since we've played a thorough Fallout 4 playthrough. So I
really
just kind of forgotten about it, you know. But I was reading about the luck bobblehead today. So that reminded me, thank goodness. So I went and got the sneak bobblehead. I got the luck bobblehead. And
did you get the agility?
Where's that one?
That's at the ship?
That's the far south one.
The North Star?
No, I have not gotten that one yet because when I was there opening up Warwick Homestead, I didn't feel like I was high enough level to go up against those ghouls, the Norwegian ghouls. But now that I have,
you should check out, there's this video by some weird dude
named Ray
that did that at level one.
Puts this in YouTube, some weird dude Fallout 4 level one. Let's see what comes up.
You're gonna get something you don't want to see there, probably.
Yeah,
no, but that is a good thing. I was actually watching a challenge run a couple weeks ago where the person didn't want to leave Spectacle Island, like do the entire run on Spectacle Island, you know, just beeline there right away and stay.
Now, amusing. One question I did have is, are bobbleheads static? If you throw an explosive up there, will it knock it over? Will it knock it off its base? Could I throw a grenade or launch a mini nuke up there and knock it off?
They can probably be knocked around, can't they?
Yeah, some of them can, because I know that if I go into Pikmin's gallery at a particularly low level, I have to throw a lot of grenades in to take out the final boss raider that's, you know, trying to kill Pikmin.
Yeah.
And that will scatter that bobblehead, you know, to the far corners of the room.
Would they be differentiated?
But I've never been able to knock the, because there's that one and also
the one at the
strength
top
bobblehead.
Yeah, the one way up.
You can
in that
see
tower.
The you can see that one when you're on the ground floor.
Yeah. What building is that again? I haven't gotten that one yet either.
Mass Fusion.
I need to go get that one.
Yeah, that's way up in Mass Fusion. That'll be much later in the story for you. Here is the Murphy's Law of Fallout, okay? Any quest item or collectible that can be moved by grenade or explosion will be moved by grenade or explosion, okay? Especially for you, Andrew. Especially for you.
Yeah, especially for me. Fucking Curie walking in front of a mini nuke. Now, would they label something as different being in an interior cell and therefore be able to move versus an exterior cell outside like the agility bobblehead and nail that one down? Like would they differentiate between those, you think?
Yeah, because if you knock that one, you could end up knocking it out into the water.
Yeah,
and
able to find that goddamn thing. You're right.
Yeah, that one may be fixed. In fact, I mean, all the bobbleheads may be fixed until you pick them up. Because if you put them down somewhere yourself or display them in your house, they're fully susceptible to anything. But it could be that they are not able to be moved until later.
Can
I don't know.
Drop it and display it in another. Other than the bobblehead stand, that blue bobblehead stand, can you just like, because in Fallout 4, one of the great things about it is you can sort of decorate your own place by dropping an item, picking it up, setting it wherever you want. That's what I was crushed by in 76. You couldn't decorate with the items in the game. So I thought that was really sad. But I'm just wondering if you can deal with bobbleheads.
I've lost many a little robot statue behind a dresser.
Oh, boy.
As far as the bobbleheads, I guess they can be stored on the bobblehead stand. We know that.
Yeah.
But can they be dropped separately? I feel like they can, but yeah, it's been too long for me.
So, yeah, that's why I've been doing a little bobblehead run and, you know, messing with the automatron stuff. Oh, I did get a really nice Deathclaw gauntlet drop. I got a lucky Deathclaw gauntlet, which does 2x crit damage plus 15% on your crit meter recharge. So that goes really well with my sneak and blitz And then I was like, oh man, I should start putting a lot of more concentration in my level ups. Now that I'm, you know, leveling up and have set a few levels aside, I, you know, need to start putting those somewhere. And it's like, oh, I should start doing the crit stuff, like the what's four leaf clover? Is that one that?
Yeah, critical banker, four leaf clover. Right.
Oh, Critical Banker's the one I want, because I want to get four fucking... Yeah, that's the one I want to go for. I like having a couple of crits in the pocket for when going up against those fucking...
Yeah, it's especially nice because when you're using Blitz, almost every attack is with Vats.
Yes.
And so you really do... You can end up storing up a lot of crits. Because I think if you max that out, you can get four crits in the bank.
Yeah. That's pretty OP. That's good stuff.
You know, thinking about length of time between the games, and this is an obvious fact, but I don't think it sunk in until just now. We are longer from the launch of Fallout 76 than we were from the launch of Fallout 4 when 76 came out. I mean, 76 came out just 3 years after Fallout 4. And now it's been 4 years in 76. Wow.
And the format of 76 allows them to just keep pushing Fallout 5 into the fucking distant future.
Yep, nudging it out of the way, like grabbing a settler and just kind of pushing him down the road.
Oh, I also was doing settlements that I hadn't gotten, that I sort of checked them off on the map, but I hadn't done their quest yet. Like the slog, I went over there and killed those super mutants and got the slog. Mm-hmm. And then I was running down by Finch Farm. I was like, oh, I'll go up and pay a visit to the forge. And I finally feel like I'm powerful enough to get through the forged and stuff. And I was melting through those guys pretty easily. So I got the explosives bobblehead. I got the Finch Farm. I got the slog. I got the coastal cottage. Is that what it's called? So I've got all those settlements down, the Spectacle Island, all that stuff. So I'm really getting the map opened up. I went down to the guy with the two kids right at the edge of the Glowing Sea. I forget what that place
Somerville.
Is called. Somerville Place. So, you know, I'm really getting the map opened up. And now that I have Aqua Girl, it makes anything sort of near water, near the river, near the coast, anything really easy to get to now, too. So having fun with that. Ray, I got your Tesla armor you were talking about last week. Visited that lady. One thing I did notice at Finch Farm when I was sort of scrapping stuff, the boxes, because I was like, oh, I need to make a bed. I bet you these cardboard boxes will break down into cloth. Do you know what cardboard breaks down into in Fallout?
Isn't it plastic?
It's fucking asbestos. I'm like, who makes fucking cardboard boxes out of asbestos?
I guess it's they're very, you know, fiberboard. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I was like, what? So I've actually got a really nice sort of pattern going with the provisioners that I really have made Hangman's Alley a hub, and everything is a star pattern. It's like right back to Hangman's Alley. So like it just looks like a starburst with a, you know, if you highlight your provisioner roots.
That sounds great.
Very cute. One last mystery I need to solve, which was I just noticed like an hour ago, and I was like, okay, I need to go figure this out. But then it was time to go do the show. Billy has disappeared. And then I noticed I haven't seen him in a week or two. Where the fuck is Billy gone? Do I need to go back down to...
Did you bring him home?
Well, I was thinking in survival mode, things... No, I didn't sell him to the slaver or whatever. I haven't done anything with him. He just disappeared. And I was thinking, wait, does this have something to do with survival mode? Because if robots get hit, then they don't stay where they... They go back home and stuff like that. You know, they abandon you and they bolt.
I was thinking, so he might be back in his fridge.
I was thinking, do you think he went back to his goddamn refrigerator? If I go back there, will he be sitting like inside the fridge again?
That would be ridiculous, and I would not put it past them. Yeah, you should find out.
And I forget the guy's name, the slaver guy who tries to buy him, but like I was going to go see him too, just to see if showing up in that cell would make him, you know, pop back up again. So I
that makes sense. Yeah, for that initializing the quest. Yeah. That makes sense. Worth a try.
Yeah. All right, so that's what I've been getting into this week for the most part there. But we got some feedback from Lou, so let's go ahead and take a visit with our good buddy Lou.
As we dance in the air, we make feedback.
What is up, you guys? My Fallout 4 feelings and feedback for never having frolicked in the forgotten friggin' wastes.
Good alliteration.
Question mark? Fallout 4 has been one of my least favorite Fallouts up until recently.
Get bent.
So I haven't really played it a ton. I have. I know I've played it a bunch in the past, but it's like I blank those memories out. I have like, you know, over 100 hours, 150 hours in the game, but... you know, not in recent years, and I just don't remember. I remember my first playthrough playing the Minutemen and, you know, doing all the settlement quests and really getting frustrated with that. Like, before it was a thing, or, you know, because we all played it when it first came out, so it's kind of like before it was a thing. But did it, and, you know, for a while I felt like the Minutemen were my, was kind of my faction. They were kind of like the quote-unquote good guys, but I don't really feel that way anymore. Someone put it that, might have been one of you guys, I forget, but someone put it that it was like they're the police of the Commonwealth in a way. And I'm like, oh, yeah, well, I'm definitely not. I'm not a policeman. I honestly have a hard time associating with any of the factions, like, really. Like this is my faction. I don't feel that way about any of them, maybe in any of the games, because they all kind of have a downfall, you know, or, like, even bad, like, really bad, you know, some of them, obviously, like, Fallout 4 Brotherhood. They're terrible. But, yeah, listen to you guys playing it all the time and talking about it and referencing it, and I have, like, no reference. All I know is 76, or to this point, anyway. And I played a lot of 76, not as much as a lot of you guys, but I have, like, probably 1,200 hours on it, I think. And I know the game well, you know, I know the areas and the locations or whatever, but so Fallout 4 is brand new to me. Recently utilizing the Redux alternate start mod through my on my PC, and did I do it? I think I did it on both PC and Xbox. So I'm on an alternate start gameplay, and it just reset my thinking about Fallout 4 completely. Like, I like it a lot.
I like it a lot.
And I'm having a lot of fun figuring things out and figuring out locations. And I just really needed to be detached from Sean and the main story, at least on the onset. I'll have to do the main story to progress certain things within my alt start playthrough, but it still feels like I'm outside of it, which is perfect for me. Like, I needed to feel outside of it in general. So I'm having a lot of fun playing a kind of a wacky character, high endurance, high charisma, high intelligence, heavy weapons build. But I appreciate what you guys have to say about the game now. Like, I never knew where certain things came from 76. Now I'm seeing, oh, this is where 76 came from. I mean, 76 is like a copy and paste in so many ways. It's crazy. I think I might even like 4 better overall, just because it's its own little sandbox world, as opposed to the live, living thing that online games are, MMO types and things.
Join the club.
You know, like, just a lot of little things that I recognize because I played 76. I mean, I was over, where was it? I can't remember exactly the location name because I'm relatively new to it, but there was a church there. I went in the church, felt familiar, went upstairs. I'm like, this is the Flatwoods Church, except a little less detail. There's even the loft stairway to go up to the like bell tower or whatever it is in there. And I'm like, well, they just kind of copy and pasted that.
That's the church next to the Museum of Freedom.
So I find that very cool to figure these things out. I'm really excited about this playthrough. I'm just getting into it, really. So that'll be a long way yet before I stop this character. This is going to be a sort of exploration, adventure around character and figure out the land I did start in on a survival playthrough to figure out a couple things, but I'm going to hold off, build a mod list for it, and wait till the round table perks back up to play the survival playthrough. What else? There was something else that I was thinking about with the gameplay. I'm going to pause. What? Wait. Okay. So, I remember, shit, no, I'm forgetting now, instantaneously. what I've always hated about Fallout 4, the thing that I still stick to that I don't care for, is I kind of have a Ray style of gameplay. I do a lot of questing, I build different characters, initially I was like, why the fuck are settlements even in this game? Doesn't make any sense to me. If I take the amount of time I need to take to do a bunch of settlements, I'm going to be way over leveled and just like destroy the map eventually. Like, I feel like just doing the main quest with some side quests is plenty for the main story, or just, you know, do your side quest thing. It just never made sense to me, the settlements. I mean, 76 makes sense. Like, all the building stuff they created and started in 4, and then they put that in the 76, that totally makes sense to me. Just the
especially
nature
the
of the
slide.
Game, the world, the multiplayer world of it, so people can come, like, you know, experience your camp or whatever you're trying to do there. But in Fallout 4, it never made sense. I didn't need it. You know, yes, I think this last episode, Ray was saying that he would use Sanctuary or Red Rocket as like a point to fast travel back to, do some things, and then head back out. That's kind of what I do as well. Actually, I'm going to look for some more settlement locations so that like I can have a different home base that I go back to. Because currently I'm at the Red Rocket for whatever I'm up to. That was a big one for me. That was hard to get over. I'm pretty much over it. I don't see myself diving into settlements really hard. Maybe for a spell, just to try it out, just to do it up. But it's still not my thing in Fallout single player. But I wanted to thank you for the inspiration to play it more and share a little bit about what it's been for me lately, because it's been very different for me lately, being someone who's played for a lot of years. To totally not accept the game and then turn around and say, oh, no, this is pretty sweet, actually. This game is very good. So, thanks, guys. I hope you're well, and we'll see you the next time we're in the Wasteland.
That's awesome, Lou. Thank you so much for your feedback. Hey, anybody else out there playing any of the Fallout games, please go ahead and send in your thoughts on whatever you're playing. Just because we're not in a roundtable season doesn't mean we're opposed to feedback. We always want to hear what you guys are doing, so please go ahead and send us in your thoughts. Lou, thank you so much for your feedback. Now, settlements are easily my main point of playing Fallout 4. That's why I play Fallout 4. I no longer, you're mentioning like, oh, Fallout 4, blah, blah, you don't like it. It's because the main quest is not the best. The settlements are the best.
Junk and crafting were some of the most innovative things that were added with Fallout 4.
Yes.
I say added, you know, a lot of the game is based around them. So much of the story hooks into them, but they're a blessing and a curse for the game.
Curse how?
Okay. I often say that the biggest reason why a lot of people feel there's less role-playing in Fallout 4 and a less fleshed-out story is because of the settlement system. You have 30 locations on the map, 30 settlements, 30 locations that could have a lot of NPCs with quests, with names, with stories, things happening, things hidden, side quests, all kinds of cool things. And now, for the most part, they are filled with nameless people, each named settler, mm-hmm. settler. And the only quests that they give you are radiant quests you can get from anyone, mix and match, generic. You look at Finch Farm, you look at the Abernathy Farm, and you look at the people in Sanctuary. Those settlements had actual families that lived there, or, you know, the Minutemen once you brought them in, and you went looking for a locket for the Abernathys. You went and did the whole Saugus Ironworks deal with the Finches. You remember them, you remember that. So those were still there, but the majority of settlements didn't have that. And so I feel like if Fallout 4 had have only had, you know, maybe 5 or 6 settlements, would have been better for it. And then create actual locations. Or if you insist on having this many settlements, keep story items there, not just radiant generic settlers.
Thoughts?
Sorry, that was a bit of a surprise rant. Sorry about that.
Yeah, and is, you know, as far as him looking for a new place to, you know, to make home. So there's a lot of great settlements. You know, I love Taffington Boathouse and Nordhagen mm-hmm. Beach. But those only work if you are leveled in charisma and can get the local leader so that you can
yes.
build the crafting stuff that you need.
Yeah.
Where the reason why we always use, you know, Sanctuary Hills or Red Rocket, which is, you know, dumb that they're both right next to each other, is because away. Those are the only two locations that have every single crafting station.
And they're right already next there. To each other. Ugh.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it would have been a lot better if it had been the Fort Hagen Red Rocket Station. You know, because then that would have been, you know, a more unique area of the map to have a big settlement to build
yeah.
up in.
Very unique. Yeah, that's a really cool location. And yeah. let me also go on record as saying I love settlements and I love settlement building. So in no way is an anti-settlement rant. That's just why they are both a blessing and a curse in the game.
Yeah. Yeah, if anybody was going to have a no settlement rant, it would be me.
And I feel like they're much more important when you activate survival mode as well. I feel like it's great to have places to go. A lot of times I find myself, oh fuck, I'm out in the middle. I need to do something, you know. So I'm going, especially in survival mode, I think it makes them more important. But you're right, they are kind of generic, but I also feel like video games go in steps. They building blocks. They stack yes. on top of each other. They weren't ready to have a billion different quests by individual people. And you're probably correct. If they would have narrowed it down to five or six, they could have done more of the individual quests with personality to them.
But mods do flesh all that out. And, you know, the more I think about it, you know, there are a ton of settlements with personality. I mean, the castle figures into the main story, and that's awesome. It only once you start to dilute it with a bunch of generic settlers that changes. You know, Somerville Place has a family there. They don't have any quests, but, you know, that is a place that exists. Spectacle Island has a great story behind it. I mean, Warwick technically has people who live there, too, although that's a little bit different. So there are more people with quests at these locations, but it's still diluted, I think, some of the stories you would find in the Wasteland.
I said one of you guys said that the Minutemen are the police of the Wasteland. Which one of you motherfuckers are calling my Minutemen out?
I don't know that we would necessarily said that, but we, you know, we might have talked about the responders. I mean, the responders are like police, and the responders and Minutemen are kind of analogs between 7, 6, and 4.
Those are the regulators. Yeah. Sorry, not the responders.
You got to regulate. So, yeah, I wouldn't necessarily call them the policemen, but they do kind of, you know, they're a well-organized militia, and it's a little different.
And he mentioned he's doing a high charisma, high intelligence, high endurance character, which lends itself great to Local Leader 2, which is the perk you need in the charisma column, level 6, I believe, that you need to get all of... build all of your crafting stations at every settlement, like Ray was saying. But you also said, I'm doing a high endurance, high intelligence, high charisma character with heavy weapons. And I'm like, that doesn't make any goddamn sense to me, Lou. That's strength, right? Like, you're not doing heavy weapons with your high intelligence build, right? Come on.
Yeah, for the most part, that is unusual. But there are probably some perks that he can focus on or use that he finds beneficial.
And one of the great things about 4 versus 76 is I feel 76 caps you at your, and it only caps your active ones, because you can have the cards down in your deck and then shuffle them out as you see, which is better than 4 because you can change up your perks if you want to. But I feel 4 is better in that if you keep playing, you can get everything activated at once. It only takes 276 levels or whatever. We counted it out once, but you can get every fucking thing
you can
in
be
the game.
That Bethesda character, you can be that class Bethesda character, leader of all the factions. Thinking about the strength perks, I think heavy gunner at strength 5 is like the only one you necessarily really need for heavy weapons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yeah, strength 5 is not hard to get.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you get a few levels under your belt, like, yeah. I've never gotten all the perks on one character. That's just ridiculous.
I've never had a character to go that long.
No.
Yeah, I mean, they're lucky if they hit 30. You're like the Logan's Run of
I don't know if I've ever gotten to level 100 with a Fallout 4 character. I feel like leveling is a lot slower in 4, but I also never do high intelligence characters, which my character now has fairly high intelligence, and I feel like I'm leveling up fairly quickly in comparison to what I remember in the past. But also, I always forget, going to survival mode earns you more XP per action and gets you more legendary drops and more
yes.
this and that. You know, it really opens up the world to you. Put it in survival mode, they reward you for that.
I think 113 was my highest character.
Wow, that's really high.
Which, yeah, that was a lot, but that was just my one character that did them all. Funnily enough, Angel is playing Skyrim for the first time.
Nice.
And in our Facebook group, you might have seen the thread where she was talking about legendary perks. And, Ray, I think, chimed in on that. And, you know, making a skill legendary. When you hit level 100, if it's one of your skills, you know, by getting rid of that, you can reallocate your points and you can keep leveling via that skill. And that is kind of, you know, if you're going to be a jack of all trades character, if you're going to do every quest on one character, that kind of thing is awesome. It really helps.
I have never pulled the trigger on doing a legendary category in Skyrim just because I'm like, I fucking worked so hard to get my crafting up to 100. My smithing is 100. I'm not going to reverse it and make it so I can only make daggers again. Fuck that.
Yeah, well... So the one that I do most often is
potions, right? It's got to be alchemy, right? Because it's so
no,
fast.
No. You go legendary on alteration.
Oh, right. Because you can
because you get the trans, the you get the yeah. the perk that lets you levitate. You know, odd objects.
Yeah,
you telekinesis.
You carry a cabbage and then you fast travel, right?
Yeah.
Is that the trick? Yeah. And then it calculates your time that you were fast traveling as, oh, you were juggling a fucking cabbage the whole time. So we're gonna right. give you credit.
Yeah, that 13 hours it took you to get from, you know, Markarth to Winterhold.
That is amazing. Imagine if we did that with like sneak. Like you just fast travel while you're crouched,
yeah.
and suddenly you get the entire distance from here to there. Or
that would be awesome.
So then you go legendary, reset it to 0, and then, you know, fast travel from Winterhold to Markarth.
How many levels do you get by fast traveling once from one side of the map to the other?
It depends on where you're at. If you're, you know, if you're low, you know, if you're like in the 20s, you know, you'll probably get 3 or 4.
Okay.
But like rift into Castle Volcahar, like all the way.
Yeah, it's, two or three on average. It goes down to 1 or 2 when you get up into the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how I got my character up high enough to fight the Ebony Warrior.
By just doing the alteration one.
Yeah, by just continually leveling alteration.
He lifted many cabbages to get so powerful.
Okay, so I guess I didn't really understand the point of it. But it lets you reallocate those points that you earned, the 100 levels worth of points, and you can put those into other trees you're not as skilled as in, and then you can do your alteration thing again.
You could, or like me, I didn't level alteration at all. You know, I didn't put any perks into alteration at all. And so, you know, I was just using it to, you know, because of the leveling system in Skyrim. You level by doing so, mm-hmm.
right?
I, you know, that's how I was, and that's where you get your advanced in player level.
Yep. And just to be clear, I know we're going off tangent from file a little bit, but you only go down to 15. You don't go down to zero. You go down to like 15, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, 15.
Right.
And one of the reasons for doing it is that some skills level easier than others, or might be your main focus. And so that's why it allows you to put points in other things.
Yeah, people do it in alchemy and smithing and enchanting because, once you get all your gear, enchanted up, you're not constantly making new, enchanted gear. You've mm-hmm. got your set, you've got your enchants, and
you don't need it anymore.
So you can afford to dump it back down to 15. And if you do want to do something later, you can run it back up.
Collect a bunch of gems, have some enchanting evening, and get it back up.
That's what I was about to say. That's all. After you get your set of armor that you like and a weapon you like with your enchanting, the only thing I enchant later in the game is just jewelry to sell to get your bartering up or whatever, you know?
Yeah. So, you don't really have that mechanic in Fallout. But there's still stuff you can do, like, build 2,000 shelves with the wood that you scrap from Sanctuary.
Yeah. See, you earn XP by doing shelves. Lou mentioned, I'd played a lot, got 100, 150 hours. I think I've got 100 hours into this playthrough of just this one character I've been playing the last few weeks.
So do we have to do the Fallout 4 roundtable next? Is that the plan?
I mean, have to? I'm kind of leaning that way. But again...
Yeah, I mean, we can always do Fallout 2.
I don't own the game yet, but I can make that happen. And then
we can take care of that, but I'm mostly doing it to get Jess to do Fallout 4.
He's offering me the alternative that I would not like. Choose between these two things.
Right. Which, I want a needle in my left eye or a needle in my right eye?
I'm excited for both, of course. I mean, obviously, I really want to restart Fallout 4. I was trying to hold up for the next gen version when it comes out, but we don't know when that's going to be.
No idea.
And your survival run has me all excited. And yeah, I'd love to. If we did it again, would we do a main quest one? Would we almost do the same format as when we last did it 2 years ago, but in survival? And also me not being BOS this time, thank you.
I'm thinking...
That's the random generator.
I'm thinking that I could never, ever play the Fallout 4 main quest again and be just totally fine with that. I don't know why, but I'm kind of done with the main quest on Fallout 4. I don't know why. Just that is the drawback that everyone complains about. Oh, you got your son. There's no role playing aspect because you're assigned a personality and a character, and you don't have to do all that with if you ignore Sean, you can be whatever character you want to be. Your character still will like occasionally say stuff about, I think I had a kid at one point. I wonder if. I should be looking for him, but it's amazingly rare how much, since my character didn't even go to Concord and open up that part of the quest, it's like I barely ever mention, having a kid. Or I forget, the other day my character was having a conversation with some other person who had a child, and then my character said, oh yeah, I know what that's like. And that's just about it.
Yeah, that's with June.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has a conversation with you like that. But if you haven't unlocked...
I haven't unlocked June yet.
Those guys, then. Yeah,
they're still in the goddamn museum. I don't remember who. And
that's where they like to be. That's why
they like the museum.
They love it there.
And is that the perception bobblehead in there? I need to go get that perception bobblehead. Can you run in without talking to him and just grab it and leave?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I might need to do that then.
Ray's like, talk to them if I don't have to. Absolutely, can.
Again, I was wondering this.
I mean, Preston bitches a little bit as you go running by. But, neener, neener.
And I was thinking, perception in Normal play mode is great because it lets you see how far off settlements are. Bad guys pop up on your Pip-Boy map and stuff by little red dots in the distance. In survival mode, it doesn't do any of that. So what does perception really do for me in survival mode if I'm not a rifle character? Nothing?
No.
Enemy detection?
No. In survival mode, they don't pop up on your Pip-Boy locator at all. That's part of survival mode is you don't know where the bad guys are. You have to actually see them with your own eyes. You can't ever get an indication where they are.
So no awareness. You're not going to need riflemen. It will still help with locks. You need to get to a certain level to be able to do your locks.
No, I have robots for that.
You have robots.
Yeah. And I mean, it does, if you were a gun character, it helps with your VATS.
Exactly. Okay. Concentrate of fire. That's melee in 4. Are you able to pick body parts or is it just the whole body?
No, it's 95%. Yeah, it's whole body.
Yeah. Yep.
Just like 76. Okay, that makes sense. I mean, last time I played, I was thinking that was the case.
Yeah.
But so, that's just so different for me.
In survival mode, if you're not a rifle character, perception is a total throwaway category. Oh,
demolition expert. Andrew, bigger explosion.
I do like big explosions. Lou's bringing up the familiarity with the map in Fallout 4, and I've had the experience this whole time where I run down an alley and it's like, oh yes, I remember this place. Oh gosh, like every single square inch of the map, I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I know this place. I've been here before. I know. Blah, 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 blah. I found like 3 alleys today that I was like, I have no memory of this place. I've never been here before. Like, and I'm thinking, is that possible, or am I just like forgetting? That's just a really odd feeling.
Possible because there's so many places that you just don't have a reason to go.
Yeah, look at South Boston. You know, on the way to the castle on foot. You know, people don't go there that often. I mean, and chances are, maybe you've been through every like general square inch of the map.
Yeah,
but some of them maybe only once. So you know, and it can't be constant deja vu.
In a survival mode, so I'm not fast traveling, forcing me to walk through more locations. Okay.
Yeah. That makes sense. Okay. So back to the mission, the business at hand. So we're not doing a main quest roundtable. Are we going to do a specific mods and DLC roundtable? As in, we get our characters to level 20 or 30, and then we go to Far Harbor, then we go to Nuka World?
I love Far Harbor and Nuka World. I was going to suggest doing a large mod quest, but then you're depending on the mod being stable enough that it's one of us isn't going to get stuck and something breaks and we can't progress the story. Like you're taking a big risk with depending on a mod to be written well enough that we can all 3 of us play through it and get through it and have no trouble.
The good thing about Fallout 4 quest mods is there aren't that many that are really huge. Like some of the really long ones you get in Skyrim or like entirely new world spaces and such like that. There isn't as much of that in Fallout 4, so we could just avoid it. And, you know, it's funny. Last time we said we're going to do a couple of set mods if we catch up, but we didn't really.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So maybe if we choose some of the like mod pick of the month, you know, quest mods that Bethesda has chosen.
Well, Creation
that we
Club.
Know are only a couple hours.
Creation Club has quests now, right? We should, and those would be supported, and you know,
those are completely supported, but they are mostly really short.
Oh, are they?
Just an excuse to get a weapon. It's an afternoon. You know what I mean? 30 minutes, an hour for a lot of them.
That's too bad. I haven't really played any of those. Another question that popped up when Lou was talking is, if you superimpose the Fallout 4 map on 76, where's the glowing sea falling? Is it even down to the ash heap?
Well, I mean, it's a quarter the size.
So you're not even getting to the ash heap then. If you run all the way down to the south.
If you were to put the middle of the map on top of the world in Fallout 4, like the middle of the Fallout 4 map on top of the world, if I was going to guesstimate, I'd say it'd be somewhere between Mama Murgle Burgles, maybe it'd be probably a little south of Charleston, but maybe Mama Murgle Burgles, maybe Mount Blair, maybe Nuka World on tour, like just into the threshold of the ash heap.
Wow. So we're just,
I would guess.
We're basically staying in the forest. All right. Okay. What else do we have on the show tonight? The Oscars were last week. So I just thought we would do, our favorite movie picks of the year, just as sort of like a fun little thing, because I was reading through the nominees for the best picture of all the Oscars this year, and I did not see a single one of these 10 films. I've usually seen at least one or two of the 10 that are nominated. And when did they switch to 10? Was that like 4 or 5 years? I was like, what on earth? I remember it was always 5 movies when I was a kid.
I feel like it generally varies based on the number of nominees that year. Is it always 10 now? I mean, I feel like some years it's 6 or 7.
I don't know. But anyway, the Everything Everywhere All at Once won Best Picture. And, you know, I've heard that that's sort of a fun multiverse type movie. And I've actually sort of interested in seeing that one. But, you know, Data and Short Round, that actor from when, you know, I was a kid, he got sort of like a resurrected back into the popular, you know, pop culture eye again. So good for him. He won Best Supporting Actor. Well deserved. Good job, sir. Even though I haven't seen your movie, that makes me want to see it. Top Gun Maverick was all over the goddamn place. Everyone was talking about how it was so the best movie, but I think Top Gun was like one of the lamest movies I've ever seen. I hate movies like that, so I just totally avoided going to see Top Gun Maverick just because.
Did you see any of the movies that are on this list? List the spoiler alert.
No, none of them. I've heard of All Quiet on the Western Front, but I was like, oh, that's a book I read in high school.
Yeah, so there are 10 movies on the list for the Oscars. You didn't see a one.
Not
there are
10
movies on the list of the Oscars. I didn't see a one. Ray, did you see any of these?
No.
I want to see that Elvis movie because I love music biopics, you know? But Avatar, Way of Water. My wife loves Avatar.
Elvis, like Avatar. Yeah, I mean, I would see those.
I won't see Avatar. I do not give a crap about
Avatar. The first
Avatar
was such an experience, not at home, in the theater with the 3D. And people forget how mind-blowing it was. And then the new Avatar movie came out, and I'm hearing people seeing it 2 or 3 times, even, in the theater. Once again, a huge success because of the experience. So
my wife would be one of those people. But I was just, I saw it in the theater with her, and I just sat there and rolled my eyes the whole time about what it's not for me. I'm not a fan of the, you know, the digital effects are not enough to make a movie good for me. And it's just unobtainium. Come on. Jesus Christ. But yeah, I want to see that Elvis movie. And anyway, I haven't seen any of these movies. You guys haven't seen any of these movies. So we're going to come up with our own list of the best nominees, the best movies to nominate this year. Did you guys see any new movies? Did you go to the movie theaters at all? Ray, do you ever go to the theater?
It's probably been 4 or 5 years.
What was the last movie you saw in the theater?
Oh, I can't even remember.
Jess, do you ever go to the movie theater anymore?
Not so much these days. You know, pretty much when COVID started, that ended. I used to have people in my life who would drag me to movies quite regularly.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of, you know, friends and people into movies. But not so much now. Left to my own devices. I play video games.
Yeah.
I watch YouTube and Twitch. I'll spend 2 hours watching a silly stream rather than devoting it to a movie, even at home. Mm. I know you watch movies at home some, but yeah.
I do.
Yeah, I like movies. You know, I own a bunch. I will occasionally pop in one of my Blu-rays, but...
Yeah. Well, the two that I have posted here are the two that I've seen in the theater this year recently. You might make fun of me, but a spinoff from the Shrek series is a character called Puss in Boots. And there was a Puss in Boots movie that came out this year. Mo and I went and saw it. It was fucking charming as hell. And I laughed the whole way through it. And the animation will make your jaw drop. It is just gorgeous and funny. So I thought Puss in Boots was really awesome. Mo's a big fan of it too. So I'll definitely recommend that one to anyone, especially if you have kids. Even if you don't have kids, I thought it was funny. I thought it was a good watch. And my top movie this year, and I just saw it a couple weeks ago. I don't know if I've gone off on the show about it yet, but if you're, you know, into sort of like gory, funny stuff, like hyper violence for the sake of comedy, almost like Cocaine Bear was just a sheer joy. I just really had a really good time watching Cocaine Bear. It, you know, didn't take itself seriously. It was done in like 80 minutes, 85 minutes. It was really short, quick, to the point. I hate how self-indulgent fucking movies are now that are 3.5 goddamn hours long. Get over yourself. Watch Cocaine Bear instead. Doesn't matter what movie you're going to say. Cocaine Bear is better. So fun.
So if I remember correctly, the actual event that inspired the movie happened in Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia, like southern Tennessee. And the evidently the real life events, the bear died immediately and there was no like horror story that followed. Like the bear ate a bunch of cocaine and fucking died immediately. So,
I mean, not immediately. He had a couple minutes of excitement. A
couple of minutes of good times. Yeah. But Jesse Tyler Ferguson from The Modern Family is in it. Is really hilarious. Ray Liotta's last film, the guy who played Solo, is it Aaron Reich or something like that? I forget his first name. But in the Solo movie, the Ron Howard directed that Star Wars movie Solo. The Han Solo origin story, that guy is in it and he's really hilarious too. So it was just my favorite movie that I saw this year.
So and Puss in Boots and Cocaine Bear are your top two.
I know they sound stupid, but seriously, I could not have had a better time with those two movies.
No, I'm with you. Last movie I saw in the theater, you know, when back at that, I'm sure it was a Marvel movie, you know, cause
Oh yeah.
I saw pretty much all of them up until 3 years ago. So
yeah.
It's people in chat saying Detective Pikachu might have been the last one.
That movie's fucking great,
the first Sonic movie.
Too.
It is.
Yeah, that Detective Pikachu is really charming. That movie is really fun.
It is. So my top movie from last year. Actually, Ray, do you want to do your top movie from last year first?
It is.
So I had to do the top movie that I actually saw last year. It's not new, but it is probably one of the best movies ever. Is Mars Attacks.
It's wonderful. Such a good movie. But you and I rank this movie, or not rank, rate it, I don't know, categorize it differently, I have a feeling. When we were talking about it a couple weeks ago, I was saying, oh, I love that movie. It's hilarious. It's one of my favorite comedies. And you're like, it's not a comedy. It's an action adventure. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I mean, aliens, lasers. You know, Sonic attacks.
That, but fucking Carrie Bradshaw's head on a chihuahua? Come on.
No, Pierce Brosnan.
Oh no.
It's Sarah Jessica Parker.
That's Carrie Bradshaw, Ray. Come on. You're showing your ignorance.
I don't know who the hell she is.
From Sex and the City. Hello.
Oh, yeah. Great show. That was one I missed.
Oh, how dare Darn. You. How dare you.
But it is an action adventure movie.
Now, I haven't heard you reference a ton of movies in the past here. But you love your detective series, TV shows, crime drama, stuff like that. Are you not much of a movie guy in general?
No.
And do you think you can philosophize what the distinction is there? Is it just you like the long form of a television show over just the short presentation of a movie, or what do you think that is due to?
I think, you know, I like television because the story changes. It's not just one story that they drag out through the entire, you know, movie and then it's done. You know, it ebbs and flows. They, you know, they'll typically have an element that, you know, that will go through several episodes, but each episode has its own thing going on.
Yeah.
You know, so it's easier for me, you know, my attention span is more suited to, you know, to that short form. You know, because kind of like, you know, kind of like with my game characters, you know, I don't like doing the same thing for very long.
No, I hear that. At the same time, though, it's your short attention span. It's less time involved per episode, but you watch the whole goddamn series, four or five seasons of Luther.
There's a new season of Luther coming out.
That's going to be good.
Oh, boy. Yep. But I do get it because you get a break every hour, every 41 minutes or whatever you get.
You know, and it changes. And, you know, because I do watch, you know, binge stuff. So my wife and I are about to finish you know, the 360 some episodes of CSI.
Holy wow.
And then there's like eight different CSI series, aren't there? Like, there's not just that one. There are a bunch of different CSIs.
Yeah, there's
well?
There's several different ones, but I don't think we'll go, you know, in that direction next. But,
not right away.
But yeah, it's just nice. It's just nice to have that, you know, that constant ebb and flow.
There's nothing so that
I did. It... I did watch the new Jumanji movie.
But you didn't know which one. I think there's multiple ones, and you're like, oh, I didn't know.
Yeah. It's one that starts out with some kids and then ends up with some kids. And that's all I saw.
What,
I don't know.
What
I was asleep. I'm hilarious. Sure something happened. But yeah, I didn't see it.
But I'm sure The Rock and Kevin Hart were in it together, right? Isn't that their thing? They do every movie together.
I don't know. I knew that they were. I knew there were some other, you know, some adults that were cast in the movie, yeah. But I don't know what their roles were because I didn't see them.
I think Jack Black is in it, and some lady. I don't know. Oh, good stuff, guys. Good stuff. All right.
So yeah, I probably saw a few movies last year. Hardly remember them. There was a Witcher animated movie that I enjoyed. Witcher
was that a forgetting what Netflix it's production?
Yeah, Netflix production. I mean, that's the thing. The only movies I would have watched besides stuff in my collection would have been on Netflix or Amazon. Yeah. I'm just doing the shows. But what I would say, if we're talking in the last year or so, I mean, you cannot beat Many a True Nerd's classic movie. Fallout 3 is better than you think, or Fallout 4 is better than you think. That's a great movie.
Yeah, that was a good one. I did see that one.
That might be 2 years old. I think within the last year, let's do Many a True Nerd's Oblivion, Dawn of the Oblivion Crisis. That was this year, I'm sure of it. And so, maybe The Salt Factory. Let's see, what did Salt Factory do recently? I would recommend his classic movie was Fallout, As Good as I Remember, or let's see, Evaluating The Witcher 2, a great story with terrible execution. Excellent, excellent acting in that one.
Are you just being facetious and calling these movies, and they're really just YouTube videos? Or
yes.
Okay.
But those are the things I watch. I mean, you know, we're talking an hour or two long in most cases, so it qualifies.
Yeah, anything over an hour is a movie, right?
I'm not sure.
Love game analysis videos, you know.
Beautiful. All right. Any last nominees in the chat for best film of the year, according to the Fallout feed?
If anybody in chat has a best movie of the year, we will shout that out in just a minute.
Very cool, you guys. I think I need to get into these. I don't remember what the years are, but there's some like old, sort of old Western style or frontier style shows like 1871, 1912, the Yellowstone something spinoffs. Like, am I totally crazy about
those? Something Stone. Yeah.
I don't know. I've heard those are good. I keep hearing people talk about those. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Any good movies? I saw a ton of good horror movies too, but anyway, don't need to dwell too long on that. So thanks for all of the Fallout feed Oscar talk. Let's get into some iguana bits here, Jess. See what we've got in the way of news, shall we?
We've got a little bit of news this week. Not a ton, but let me pull this up. So I save some photos here. One thing to mention, with the Fallout TV show coming up and, you know, maybe more things happening on the Fallout front with, you know, 4 and all that, Fallout renewed some trademarks in the last 2 weeks. Not necessarily the most exciting news, you know, but it's something you have to do periodically anyway. But if people have been watching Juicehead, he reported on this recently, and I went and looked up the information to get some pictures. So here are things that were registered. So, you know, the classic Fallout registered trademark is the, you know, the leaning Fallout inside of the square that they've used since Fallout 3. What's interesting is they actually registered that trademark, their version of it, in August of 2009. So it was slightly after Fallout 3 came out, but is basically for the way that we see Fallout written most of the time these days, in the box. They actually just did a new trademark, and this was done on March 7th. Well, it was filed a couple days earlier, but status on March 7th. And this is just Fallout in the Futura font with, you know, everyone knows the little lightning O at a lean, you know, at an angle like they do. And that is new. They had not previously registered it that way. They'd registered the various images they'd used and, of course, Fallout itself as the name. But now they've registered this, and people are speculating that is for a TV show, for new apparel and stuff like that. And I have noticed that they are more often, when talking about Fallout and using it, they're no longer surrounding it with the rectangle as much. So I think they want to make sure that that is something that they have. And also for any official Fallout creators, I might have mentioned this in the past, but they have clamped down on those of us who occasionally do things with them where they don't want people using like the Overseer font or, you know, and writing Fallout in it and doing things that really approximate Fallout and look more official now. They have kind of, since Microsoft took over, locked that down a little bit. And I think this copywriting in that style with just the letters is all part of it. Looking at the specific trademarks they have as well. So they went and re-registered Fallout in all these various categories. Fallout as related to entertainment services, such as online computer games, entertainment, etc., obviously. They also registered Fallout as relating to games, toys, and playthings. Board games, card games, puzzles, plush toys, collectible figures, teddy bears, puppets, and figurines. I'm going through all this just so you guys can, you know, picture the new Bethesda gear items coming your way soon. Okay, so we've got those two. Next, we have, I got to slide over. That's on the next slide I saved. Okay, Fallout as related to clothing, footwear, and headgear. So pick up your Fallout combat boots, hopefully. Fallout trademarked as relating to household or kitchen utensils, containers, chinaware, cookware, tableware, but not including forks, knives, and spoons. So do not expect your Fallout utensil set soon, unless you're going to, you know, scavenge and loot them.
Huh.
But they did do it for other utensils and containers and chinaware, etc. So yeah, I thought that was really interesting. And finally, trademark Fallout as related to furniture, mirrors, picture frames, containers, not metal, for storage or transport, shelving units, and furniture. So renewing categories of trademarks in all kinds of areas, which, I mean, you might say, well, yeah, of course, okay, if we're going to make something Fallout related, they own the Fallout license, they own that, all these things are qualified. But there are actually individual trademarks for individual categories. And by registering and re-registering, it allows them to protect their IP and make claims on people who might be infringing upon their copyright in all these specific areas. So I just thought that was interesting that they took the time to do that and they added some new categories there with some of the things. So there's that.
I'm hoping you mentioned teddy bears. I hope that when they sell you a teddy bear, it's like reading a newspaper above a toilet with a skull on it or something. You know, just like set up funny scenes with the teddy bears.
You know, it's
great.
You can do that at home.
You can.
You can buy Rad Bear or Commander Chubbs. They've done both of those.
Oh,
so
nice.
Yeah, hopefully we get a few more.
Dorbs.
Love a good Teddy Fear, Bumble Bear, all kinds of stuff. That'd be awesome. But yeah, I mean, you know, always excited about Fallout loot because... like so many children's things, not that Fallout is for children, of course, but like so many children's things, the cartoon exists to be able to sell you stuff. And that is not the case with Fallout, but man, can they sell us stuff.
when are we going to get the Fallout breakfast cereal? Do they make sugar bombs yet?
Yeah, sugar bombs. Yep. I've seen fan-made sugar bombs.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if Bethesda Gear has ever sold official sugar bombs or not. But there are definitely, you know, Mrs. Fallout on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, all that. She actually did a couple of videos with sugar bombs in the case of like little mini nuke shaped cereal. Adorable.
Oh, very nice.
quick note, not Fallout related, but still Iguanabits. A new trailer is out for Redfall. So Redfall is the vampire game that is coming out May 2nd. And they've just released a story trailer for it. So you get deeper into the story and the lore of the vampires there in the town of Redfall. It looks fun. A lot of us are going to play. This is a Bethesda game by Arkane, but it's not Bethesda Game Studio specific. But still, a lot of people excited about it. Redfall. I bought the t-shirt already. Oh, and nice. For anyone who is looking for information, there was a creator event in several locations last week and this week. They did one West Coast LA. They did one, I believe they did one in Asia. They're doing one in Europe. And, but we haven't heard anything from it yet because there is an embargo. That embargo is up on the 22nd. So expect to see a lot of people talking about what Redfall is, what Redfall isn't from a player perspective on the 22nd. I believe that's this coming Tuesday, right? No, that's Wednesday this time. Embargo is up Wednesday. So if you're interested, there it is. Looking on the community calendar, excitement. Well, Double Score weekend again, you guys. Double Score weekend.
Whoa, I'm ready for that.
You might say, it feels like we just had one, because we did. But this one was actually scheduled, not just because Bethesda's apologizing again.
I like it when they apologize.
You do, do you? Well, you are in luck, because there was an announcement made and a hotfix rolled out because of a lot of extra PC disconnects and such like that last week. A hotfix rolled out. And in the announcement about the hotfix, they said, we will have a future make good to help make up for the time lost on this. So expect, you know, something silly like an extra event or something happening as a make good for some of the extra disconnects people were having, especially on PC last week.
I guess I missed the drama. I guess what was
it? Wasn't big drama. It's not like some of them. You know, not like, oh my god, where's Graham? Or oh my god, all the robots are dead at Fastnacht. It was more like a lot of extra crashes on the parade on Sunday that we did. I couldn't get on PC. It was bad enough that after trying three times, I just said, "Sorry, Shreds, you're going to be looking at these floats alone. I'll be watching on the monitor."
Oh no, mm-hmm. That's too bad.
So, you know, there were some issues, but they seem to be mostly sorted. I say that. Well, Sullivan in chat right there might be telling me otherwise, because he was having a lot of crashes too, as I recall, other people. If you are someone talking about crashing and dying, if you're someone who actually enjoys such things, the Fallout Custom Worlds this month is Dweller Must Die. That was just updated a day or two ago. Dweller Must Die. Like, we know people don't play public worlds much. And, you know, I and some people enjoy custom worlds. There are a lot of good things about them. I know they're not as popular as they could be, but they're neat. They're cool. Public worlds, on the other hand, not many people play. But if you're, you know, a masochist and you want to get in there, Dweller Must Die currently. Everything does more damage to you. You drop more loot when you die. All kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah, I'm not really interested in that sort of thing.
Yeah, I know. I did such a good job selling it to you too, didn't I?
You're like, hey, this thing really sucks, you guys. Want to go try it out? No, not really.
Honestly, one great thing about that, though, that people don't necessarily think about is what a great way, if you want to jump in with friends and just, you don't care about leveling. You know, you don't, you're basically, you're caught up. You've done enough of this and that. You just want to jump in and play with friends and do something silly and different. This is a great way to do it.
Perfs.
It is there for that. Also, separate iguana bits, I just wanted to mention, I talked back in January about how we were bringing stuff to YouTube as well on a channel there. I'm uploading Dames episodes every week or two over there. Nice. Until we get a full the full catalog there. The Fallout feed has been going to our own YouTube channel on YouTube since, well, I started in January. I'm doing some catch up. So basically from the Fallout 1 roundtable on, so every week, if that's something that you use YouTube and you want to listen there instead of your regular podcatcher, that's now available. But part of the reason we were doing that is that there had been, you know, news and talk that YouTube was going to get into the podcast business as an actual distributor too, or a way to listen to podcasts, because they hadn't been previously, except for, you know, creators uploading videos, you know, if that's the version that you do. But there was no actual podcast search or app or anything like that. Well, finally, they actually now have a special category. I was just in my YouTube studio this morning, and there's now a section called YouTube Podcasts, and you're able to register one of your playlists or feeds as a podcast. You're able to hook it up with podcasts you make, and people who actually use it, you, in the past with YouTube, you had to keep the video on to even watch or listen. Yeah. You know what I mean? If you're just listening. Now for audio version, if it's in the podcast category, you can turn off your screen. You can just let it play and listen.
That's great. Background play. It's like we're going to do backwards playing. We're going to hear satanic messages in your podcast. But background playing is awesome. I always want it because I like listening to albums sometimes on YouTube, and I hate that you have to have the screen open. You can't close down the screen.
If you were YouTube Premium, you were able to do background play, switch apps, turn it off, but only if you were YouTube Premium and not for everything. Now with the podcast category, it's available for everybody.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. So I know that's a weird iguana bit, but it's kind of related.
No, that's great. No, thanks for pointing that out.
And then finally, last iguana bit, the next Fallout Feed Roundtable is apparently going to be Fallout 4, I think we just decided. I put that in the discuss here. We talked about it earlier. So
beautiful. You know, it's not set in stone if people are feeling strongly in any way. But I was just saying when you get the ball started rolling, because I'm hitting level 50, 60, something like that on the scoreboard, and it takes a few weeks to plan this thing. So I'm hopefully going to be wrapping up the scoreboard and then, you know, then the next 3-4 weeks, hopefully. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. It always starts going a little slowly once you get in the 80s or so. But, I figure we should maybe start thinking about what we're going to do for the next roundtable. So if you guys out there feel strongly in any direction, please let us know. Give us an email over there at thefalloutfeed@gmail.com. Also, please, feedback. You know, we don't got to be in a roundtable, just like Lou. If you're just playing, if you're doing a New Vegas playthrough, or you're off playing Fallout Shelter, the best Fallout game, then, you know, let us know. You know, what you're doing in those games. We'd like to hear anything that you're doing in the Fallout world. It's good stuff. Do you guys have any other stuff you'd like to get into tonight? We've got a few shout-outs here on our way out the door. Ray, Jess, did you have any other topics before the shouts?
I'm all good.
Yeah, all good.
Sweet. Well, first and foremost, I got to say congratulations to Nana Janet, and I don't have a congratulations on level 600 drop for you. We can give you this.
And there was much rejoicing.
There's much rejoicing you hit level 600, but we'll also allow Mo, even though it's not a scorecation shout, we'll let Mo give you a shout too.
Scorecation!
Congratulations, Nana Janet, on level 600. Very impressive.
I feel like you're teasing her. Now she's going to be like, but I'm not on Scorecation.
But I'm not Scorecation. You can do it. You'll be there in just a couple weeks. You'll get it. Jess, you had tapes here? Tapes from the Waste, I hope?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention Tapes from the Waste hadn't had an episode in a couple months, but they did just put one out. So if you listen occasionally, please do. KDB got into kind of what he's been going through, dealing with some dental trouble and stuff like that, which is why hadn't had to wait a bit, wasn't doing so well, but doing better now. And, of course, our good friend Salior is in there talking about what he's been up to, too. Okay. So Tapes from the Waste is out. And while we're on the podcast subject, I do want to mention that the podcast 13, which is I believe it's called 13, a Fallout podcast or a Fallout story, which is essentially a dramatized retelling of Fallout 1, is out. Ooh. I might have mentioned when it came out a couple weeks ago. I don't remember if I did or not. But I did get a chance to actually listen to it thoroughly myself. I thought it was really good.
Wonderful.
If you are into kind of a storytelling style podcast, this one's done a little bit differently than some of the, some of the audio drama podcasts that we've talked about, such as Modus Files or Chatter, any of those, because this is a retelling of the story. And it's also done in a bit of a style with a narrator. So the characters are represented and they do have voices, but it feels almost like a little bit of a fairy tale quality. I really, really did enjoy it. A few things changed. Obviously, we've got to kind of fill in the gaps. You know what I mean? But nothing major changed. It's all kind of things to kind of smooth it out. So just a fun little listen.
Very cool. There's also one other podcast I'd like to mention real quick. They also hadn't posted an episode in months and months and months, but finally this little show called The Butcher, Baker, and Candlemaker in Space got a new episode on Tuesday. So congratulations to those guys for being back in the game. I haven't listened to it yet. I just saw it today that I was just like, oh, finally Ray got off his butt, put a show out.
Yeah,
for me.
And We recorded it on Saturday, and so normally I wait until the end of the week to post them.
Yeah,
but, this turnaround. Since it was so tardy.
I mean, a whole like 5 days.
It's only a month late, right? It's okay.
Yeah, it's yeah. It was a month.
Oh, was it really? I thought it was like a week or two at most. Cow.
No. We the last one we recorded was on February 13th, and this one was March 11th.
Yikes! That's awesome, though. Great. I'm excited to listen to a new episode. So everyone run to your podcatchers to go check out the No Man's Sky podcast produced by Ray and our good friends Pantagruelia and Wasteland Baker. Butcher Baker,
Carol Baker. Or Spaceland Baker, depending on...
Spaceland Baker.
Yeah, where you're at.
I forgot. Sorry. Depending on which world you're in at that time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening to the show this week. It's a good time hanging out. You can find her over there on the Twitters at You Wastelanders, also at Sleep Is For Tea, and at Dames Who Game. Oh, there's a Dames Who Game episode a couple weeks ago or last week too, you guys. If you haven't refreshed your podcatchers, go check out another Dames Who Game. So Jess, thanks so much for hopping on.
Happy to be here.
And you can find him at RayLB, at BBCISSS for all your No Man's Sky needs. Ray, thanks so much.
Good times.
I can be found at IndieAndroid, and the show is at The Fallout Feed. I'd like to thank everyone for downloading this edition of The Fallout Feed, and we will see you in the Wasteland.
Thank you for downloading this episode of The Fallout Feed Roundtable. If you are interested in doing a play-along character with us, the show can be contacted by emailing falloutroundtable@gmail.com. For the roundtable schedule, our Amazon link, and all other show information, please head on over to asapodcasting.com, where you will find The Fallout Feed, a Skyrimatic podcast, our YouTube channel, The Chatterbox, as well as other content. Once again, thank you for downloading, and we'll see you in the Wasteland.
Just wave it back and forth.
I was going right for it.
Squirt him a few times and whack him.